Today we're going to continue with our sermon series called Root and Reach, and I'll talk a little bit more about some of this stuff as we get later on, but we've sort of turned a corner. Last week I mentioned that we have these refrigerator magnets available for you, and you can take one of these home and put them on your refrigerator or wherever else you'd like to put that to remind you of our theme for this series and really sort of a theme that we have this whole year, Root and Reach. And I said that we have about, it was only a little bit more expensive to buy 500 of these as it was to buy 200. 200 wasn't really enough, so we went ahead and bought 500 of them. So we have lots of extra ones, and I mentioned if you want to go ahead and just put them all on your refrigerator. So I just want to give you a little picture of what that would look like if you wanted to take enough magnets to put on your refrigerator. It would look something like this. Now, not all of you can do that. I know that's pretty enticing and really inviting. So I don't know how many. Let's see. 3, 6, 7 times 3, 6, 9, 10, 11, 12. About 80-some magnets on there, I suppose. But so that's what it looks like. So it can be done, and it looks very impressive if you do that. So for the past 2 weeks, we've been looking at this idea of roots, looking at the idea of putting down roots in our lives, and we've been using the metaphor of a tree, kind of following along with what does a tree do, what are the roots of a tree do. We talked about they provide two things. They provide nourishment. The roots are not the only source, but the major source of supply of nutrients and water for the tree, and then they also provide stability. Roots help anchor the tree into the ground, and there's all kinds of different root structures and all kinds of different soil types, so different ways in which roots go. Some go very deep, some go very shallow, but out very far. And we've been looking at this in the life of a disciple of Christ, a follower of Jesus, that we need to put down spiritual roots, and it's from those roots that we get nourishment. It's from those roots that God, especially as we looked at Ephesians 3, this idea of being rooted and grounded in love. That from the love of God, from that soil, comes all of the nutrients, all the things that we need. And then last week, we looked at this idea that there is stability there as well, and that there's stability in God. Our stability comes from God. Our support comes from God. All that we need to do, both in the ordinary and extraordinary times, that kind of support comes from God. And if you want to catch up, if you missed the last couple of weeks, you can pick up CDs that are out there as you leave in the main entry, or you can also listen to them online. And so today, we're sort of turning into this idea of our reach. What is our reach? What is our impact in the world in which we live? And this statement is true, and we've gone over this, that the health of our roots is related to the impact of our reach. The ability that we have to impact those around us or those around the world with the kingdom of God and for the kingdom of God is dependent on our own roots. It's dependent on our own stability in Christ. It's dependent on how we're growing and how we're taking in the nutrients and the love and the joy and the peace that God has for each of us. So today, what I really want to do today is kind of talk more of a concept than content. Today, I want you to dream a little. I want you to think a little bit about what God could do with your life, what God could do with your reach. And then in conjunction with those here at Buffalo Valley Church of the Brethren, the reach that we can have as a local church. And then even thinking a little bit about this church in conjunction with other churches, other like-minded churches, the reach that we can have in the world around us. So it's really not so much looking at a verse of Scripture today, but this idea of a concept. Just I want you to really understand what kind of impact God allows us and desires for us to make in the world around us. So, the reach of a tree is wide-ranging. A tree has a wide-ranging reach. For example, it can be very simple, where right there by the tree, you can rake up those leaves and hop in there, and that's part of the benefit of a tree, part of the reach of a tree. I often wondered why God didn't somehow create those things to just go away very quickly when they fell down. But, you know, we used to live in New York. We had a lot of oak trees. And those oak leaves are just big, and they're just but you can get some huge piles of leaves in there, and kids jump in them. You can lose kids in those piles. It's not that difficult to do. And so, you know, that's a reach of a tree. That's very quick. It's here. It's right then and there when it happens. Another part of the reach of a tree would be fruit that the tree produces. And that can be immediate. You can go out to an apple tree and pick an apple, but it also could be something that's in the future. And it could be not only there or here where you're eating the fruit, but there. Like, for example, if you have bananas at home, I'm quite sure that none of those bananas came from central Pennsylvania. All right, they probably came from another country, and so we live thousands of miles away from those bananas and where they were harvested, but the reach of that banana tree extends even to us today. Another part of the reach of a tree is lumber, and that lumber could be used years after the tree is gone. It can be used, again, 1,000 miles away from the tree. It can be used all kinds of different ways. The reach of the tree is wide-ranging and far-ranging. And then finally, there's sort of an unseen aspect to what a tree does. And I don't know why they picked a giraffe for this little thing. I thought it was kind of cute. Don't we all love giraffes, right? Everyone likes a giraffe, right? I mean, come on. Yeah. And I'm sorry if you have a fear of giraffe. Please don't look. But the trees take the carbon dioxide that we breathe out and use it to produce oxygen that we breathe in. Now, that's sort of an unseen thing. You can't walk up to a tree and go, okay, yeah, I see the oxygen coming out of the... You can't see that. It's an unseen thing, but it's a very important part of the reach of the tree. So we have all kinds of ways in which the tree has a reach, and that's what I want to sort of talk about today as it relates to us. And so this is a bit of an outline of where we're headed. The reach of a tree and a disciple, a follower of Jesus, is both seen and unseen. God wants you to have a reach that people can see, but also that is unseen. Our reach is also here and there, right here in Mifflinburg and Union County, but also around the world. And it is also now and then. We have the opportunity to have an impact now, but also then, later, down the road, in the proverbial way of speaking. So that's how our reach can be applied. So what I want to do as we get started is talk about two really, really important passages of Scripture that talk about the reach that the disciple has, talk about the reach that the follower of Jesus has, and then look at how it fits into all of these particular categories. So let's look at Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, which is known as the Great Commission. These are some of the last words that Jesus spoke to his disciples before he ascended into heaven. So this is after the crucifixion, after the resurrection. Jesus says to his disciples, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." We see all three elements of this idea of reach here. We see the seen and the unseen. Jesus tells them at the end there, you know, "I am with you always, even to the end of the age." He wasn't going to be visible to them anymore. He was going to ascend into heaven, but the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, would be with them. There would be an unseen aspect to what Jesus was doing, but he was going to be, but they themselves would be seen, right? They were supposed to be here and there. They were supposed to go and make disciples of all of the nations. They were going to be in Jerusalem. They started out in Jerusalem, but then they were going to go out into all the rest of the world. So there was, an aspect of the here and there, and then the then and the now. They had something to do now, but this was not going to be accomplished in a day. This was not going to be accomplished in a year. This was something that was going to outlast and outlive them for many, many years to come. So there's both the seen and the unseen, the here and now, and the then and there. The here and there, and the then and now. Now, the disciples get a little bit antsy. They're not really quite sure what this whole thing about Jesus is with his kingdom. And remember, the disciples were pretty much expecting, as were most people, the Messiah to come and to have a spiritual reign, but also to have a physical reign on the earth and sort of kick the Romans out and reestablish Jerusalem and reestablish Israel to its rightful sort of place, or maybe to the glory that they had under the days of David, under the days of Solomon. They didn't really understand this idea of a suffering Messiah, a crucified Messiah. That was not something that they could really wrap their hands around. So right before Jesus ascends into heaven, the disciples ask Jesus a question. They say, "Okay, is now the time when you're going to establish your kingdom? All right, now, is this it? I mean, we've gone through this crucifixion thing. We didn't really understand that. That was really crazy, Jesus. It was really hard on all of us. It was just really, really hard. And then you came back to life, and you're here talking to us. So is now the time that you're going to establish the kingdom? Is this the moment?" And Jesus says to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons, which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." This is their reach description. This is what they're going to do. You see the seen and the unseen. He says that they're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. That's not going to be something that they're going to be able to visibly see. The Spirit of God is going to reside within them. There's going to be this ability that's going to come upon them. It's an unseen type of a situation. Then there is the now and then. All right, they're going to be witnesses, all of these places, and this has a, it's not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. I'm not going to tell you exactly when I'm going to come back and establish my kingdom. That's not something you're going to know. It's going to happen, but it's not a now thing. It's going to be a then thing. And then there's also a here and there concept. You're going to be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and Judea, and that's the, you know, the surrounding area and Samaria, surrounding city, and then all the way out to the end of the earth. So even in these two passages, which are often used to describe our marching orders as followers of Jesus, these are our marching orders, the Great Commission. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, make converts, baptize them, teach them. And then this, Acts 1:8, are really kind of two of the three or four passages that sort of give us our overall marching orders, our reach, if you would. And in that context, or in the context of these things, you see these different ideas. Here and now. Then, excuse me, here and there, then and now. I get that confused. Here and there, then and now, seen and unseen. So my question for you as we think about all this is, do you understand how wide-ranging and how far-reaching our mission is? I mean, do you get that? Do you understand that? Too often, I think, in my own life, I settle for something far less than what God intends, far less than what God desires for me. If we are connected to this incredible God, he has something for us to do. He has an impact for us to make. He has a reach for us to make. One of my favorite stories, and I know I shared this story at least once before, and you're probably going to hear it once a year. You won't remember it much anyway, but from year to year, you probably won't know it. But I'll just go ahead and tell you, because this is one of my favorite stories about this idea of evaluating your reach and evaluating your impact. And it goes back to the early 1980s, about 1983, when Steve Jobs, who was one of the founders of Apple, went to find, he needed somebody to run the company. Things were not going that well, and so he needed someone to run the company. I'm a little Apple icon up here. And so he wanted John Sculley, who was at that point the CEO of PepsiCo, Pepsi, 7-Up, all the different products that they had. He wanted Sculley to run Apple computers. And so Jobs traveled to Manhattan, where Sculley lived, to visit with him and to try to recruit him to come to Apple and run this new computer company. And Sculley writes in his autobiography that he wasn't really inclined to do it. He was settled in New York City. He had a great job. He was making lots of money. His family was settled in New York City. And so he tells the story that Jobs is there at Sculley's penthouse office in Manhattan. They're overlooking the New York City skyline, which is an incredible sight. And Sculley is really trying to just turn him down, trying to kind of get rid of him. He says, look, Steve, if I'm going to do this, you're going to have to give me, now remember, these numbers are 1983, so it's a little skewed, but he said, you're going to have to give me $1 million salary, $1 million bonus, and $1 million severance package. Just as a minimum, those are the things you're going to have to give me in order to do that. And so Jobs said, okay, we'll do it. We'll do it. The only stipulation is you have to move to California. You cannot manage the company from here. And Sculley said, look, that's not going to work. You know, I'm not going to do that. I can consult from New York City, but I'm not going to move to California. And at that moment, Sculley writes in his autobiography that Steve Jobs said something to him that absolutely rocked his mind. Steve Jobs said, do you want to spend the rest of your life making sugared water, or do you want to change the world? And Sculley says when he said that, he realized that he was about, because of his own comfort level, because of his own, just things were going good, he was about to give up an opportunity to change the world. And clearly, our world is significantly different. Not because of the water, not because of the soda we drink, but because of companies like Apple. He said, do you want to spend the rest of your life selling sugared water, or do you want to change the world? And Sculley left Pepsi, moved to California, and for several years served as CEO of Apple. And what I want us to think about is that our reach for the kingdom of God can be world-changing. It can be. It can be world-changing in your life and mine. Now listen, being CEO of Pepsi is not a bad thing. It's fine. Most of you probably have Pepsi products in your home. You probably enjoy them. There's nothing wrong with that. Whatever it is that you or I do outside of what we often consider this idea of a secular world and the things that we don't do that are associated with church, our jobs, whatever the case, they're not bad things. There's nothing wrong with them. But as we think as a follower of Jesus, when we sign up to follow Jesus Christ, our reach broadens. Our reach expands. We now have this desire to join God in a way that changes the world. You see, look, I can't change the world, but you can change a world. You could change, your reach could be to help change a world of someone that you know. And as I like to say, for that person, if you can change a world, that means the world to them. And if you can reach one person for Jesus Christ, you're not going to reach the world, but for that one person, you've made a world of difference in their life. And so our reach, our impact is supposed to be far beyond often what we think about. And now, some of you might be thinking, well, yeah, that would have worked for me 30 years ago or 20 years ago or whatever, but I've made a lot of mistakes. I've messed up things. I couldn't possibly be able to be used that way. And I want you to know that your reach is not voided because of how many missteps or mistakes you've already made. 2 weeks ago, we had the folks here from Teen Challenge. And I had several people come up to me, and several people have gone to other folks and say, you know, that just absolutely blessed my heart to hear the testimony of Brian, and I think it was Travis, who was up here talking about what God had done in their life. And you know what made their testimonies interesting? You know what made their testimonies compelling? What was it? The mistakes they'd made. That's what made their story unique. That's what made it gripping. The idea that people can make mistakes and that God can reach into their lives and make a change. That's what made the testimonies compelling. That's what made their stories interesting. So we can't sit back and say, well, you know, I've already made this mistake or I've messed up over here, so therefore my reach or my impact can't be great. No. God can work all that out. There is no mistake, there's no misstep that voids our ability to have an impact and a reach for God. We've talked about this idea of laying down the roots, making our roots stable and nourishing ourselves. But for what purpose? For the reach, for the impact that God has for each of us. Okay, on the backside of your notes, we're going to talk about this in terms of these three things, a little more detail. Seen and unseen. There is a whole nother world out there that you and I can't see. I mean, I think we agree with that, right? There's this realm that you and I can't see. If you believe in the Bible, if you believe in God, then you can't see angels and you can't see demons and you can't see this activity that's going around us out there. We can't see the Holy Spirit who lives within us. You know, you don't get on the scale and, oh, there's an extra 2 pounds. Must be the Spirit. I must be filled with the Spirit today. You know, that doesn't happen, okay? Actually, if God would work that out, if we were filled with the Spirit, we'd actually weigh 2 pounds less. That's how a good God would work it out, probably. But it doesn't work that way. So there's a whole nother world out there that we cannot see. And so our impact is not only in the world in which we see, but it is in the world in which we cannot see. And one of the best glimpses, or the best glimpse we get of this unseen world in which we live, is found in God's Word. It's not found in, you know, 1-800-GET-A-PSYCHIC or something like that. That stuff's ridiculous. But it's found in the Scripture. So let me just read to you one example from Ephesians chapter 6. The Apostle Paul writing to the Ephesians, and he's talking about battling and resisting Satan here. And he says, look, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. We do not wrestle against the things that we are seeing, right? But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. See, that's really who we're wrestling against. That's really who we're warring against. That's one of the ways in which our reach needs to extend beyond that which we can see, but into that which we cannot see. And how do we do that? And there's a whole list of armor that Paul goes on and gives to us there in Ephesians. But this idea of prayer and the putting down the roots is so important for our ability to reach into the unseen world. Satan is not impressed by your bank account. Satan is not impressed by your athletic ability. Satan is not impressed by your promotion. He's not impressed by any of those things. He's not affected. He's not impacted by any of those things. He's impacted by prayer. He's impacted by God's people doing acts of service for other people. He's impacted when you open up the Word of God and read it for yourself and apply it into your life. That's what he doesn't like. That's what bothers him. And if we think about tying this together, how we live in the visible world greatly affects how viable our impact is in the unseen world. I mean, if you want to make an impact against the forces of darkness, if you want to make an impact for the kingdom of God, that's the invisible realm. But how we function in the visible realm impacts how we can work or how viable we are. And if you read, I don't know, there's lots of really great books to read out there. One of the greatest books I think sort of gives us a picture is C.S. Lewis's book, The Screwtape Letters. And it's this mythical, fictional account of this correspondence between a demon and his head demon over top of him. And he talks about, you know, let the people have their fun. Let them do the thing. Keep them content. Keep them happy. Because they're not doing any good in the world in which we live when they're just happy and when they're just content and when things are going well. As long as we can keep them from the things of God, we have nothing to fear. But when we dig our roots down into the Word of God, into prayer, into the people of God, into service for God, and not just at church, but everywhere we live, we start becoming so much more viable in the unseen world. We start being able to be used by God in such a more significant way. Our reach extends into that world where the real battle goes. You know, there's a war on for the souls of men and women out there all around the world, and we engage in that battle through prayer and study and things like that. All right, so we have a seen and unseen. And we also have a here and there. All right, a here and there. We have in Mifflinburg, we have Union County, we have an impact here, right? But also we have an impact there, right? Many of you give and support Matt and Nikki Walter. In fact, the mission team actually gives them a monthly amount of money to help that with their ministry in Hong Kong. You haven't been to Hong Kong. Anybody been to Hong Kong? Maybe some of you? All right, some of you have been to Hong Kong. That's really cool. I'd love to go to Hong Kong. That sounds really great. But they're there. They're there sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're here, but they're there. So how do we impact them? Well, we pray for them, and we give, and we help them to have their expenses meet in the seen world so they can minister in the unseen world. Right, Becky over in Tajikistan. We're not there, but we can pray for her. We can give. We can help her. We have the Seilers Children's Cup, other missionaries, and other missionaries that are supported through the denomination money that we give. We have a reach that's not just here; it's there. It's out there in the world in which we live. This little slide, and it really depends on who you listen to, but anywhere from 2 to 3 billion people in our world have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'll go with this lower estimate. Let's say 2 billion people of a planet of over 7 billion have never heard that Jesus is God's Son, that Jesus died on a cross for them to forgive them of their sin, and that Jesus rose again to give them eternal life. 2 billion people. That's usually the lower end of the list. As far as we can tell, have never heard that information that I just gave to you that is readily available and accessible to you in 1,000 different ways on a daily basis if you wanted to take it in. We need to extend our reach. Not just us, but the followers of Jesus all around, we need to extend our reach. Here's an interesting way to do it if you want. You can go to unreachedoftheday.org. It's a really neat website, and they'll give you an unreached people group. A group of people that, as best we can tell, has no real access to the gospel through conventional means, radio, book, real printed material, or whatever. And they'll tell you a little bit about those people, and you can pray for them. You can have them send you a little reminder each day. Hey, you know, ways that, you know, you're not going to get on a plane and go to Somalia tomorrow. But you could get on a plane in the unseen world and pray for those in Somalia tomorrow. You can extend your reach in that way, in the unseen world in which we live. And I want you to understand that God wants you to do that. God desires that you do that. Your prayer for the unreached of the day is just as effective, just as meaningful as someone else's prayer. It doesn't matter whether you're 80 or whether you're 8. But do we do this? Do we think about this? Do we think about our reach being beyond just here and where we live. So it's seen and unseen. It's here and there. And as our roots are strong, our reach will be long. You know, as we think about this, as we continue to drive those roots down and spread those roots out, we're compelled, we're moved to do the kinds of things that we're talking about here, to have a greater reach and a greater impact. All right, the last point that we want to talk about is this idea of now and then. And like a tree can have lots of things that are here for right now. Shelter, shade, fruit, leaves, whatever the things may be. And a tree provides that right now, and that's great. And we have that idea too. We have the opportunity to provide something that's now, right now. But we have an opportunity to provide something for then as well. And many of us, perhaps the then part will be greater than the now part. I'm going to put a couple of names up here and see if you know who these people are. Does anyone know who Clara Hagopian is? Anyone know who she is? All right. Do you know who this guy is? Who's that? Steve Jobs. Clara is Steve's adopted mother. Well, yeah. Yeah, he's in, yeah. Now, she did not have much of an impact in the now part. If you looked at her life, no, you don't even know who she is. But millions of people know who this guy is. And this guy and some others changed the world in which we live. He changed the way we communicate, he changed the way we talk, he changed everything about the world in which we live. So there was a now impact, which for her was small, but then there was a then impact that was incredible, tremendous, that far outlived her. All right, here's another name. Anyone know Mary Ball? I mean, you might know a lady named Mary Ball, but that's probably not who it is. But it could be, you know, it could be. Anyone know Mary Ball? Right, not much of an impact in terms of now as we think about her, but you know this guy? If you don't know this guy, turn in your citizenship card right now, okay? This is George Washington. Did George Washington make an impact in our society, in our culture, and in our world? Yeah, I think so. Mary Ball was his mother. Mary Ball Washington, but I couldn't give the Washington part. That would give it away. See, her impact in the then was far greater than the impact that she had now. One more. Morrow Coffee. Anyone? All right, how about this guy? Who's him? Who's that? Billy Graham. Morrow Coffee is Billy Graham's mother. Morrow Coffee, as far as I could tell, didn't do any preaching, didn't have crusades with tens of thousands of people in attendance. Her here impact was not that significant, but she invested in someone who then made an impact that left an indelible mark on the history of this world. So you and I might sit here and we might think, you know, I'm in Union County, I'm in Mifflinburg, I'm not in a metropolitan area, nobody's really looking for my opinion, nobody's really writing down what I have to say. But when we're putting down the roots, who knows what God can do with you? Now, most of this, we're all parenting things, but it doesn't have to be parenting things. It could be an organization, it could be an idea, it could be an influence that you have on someone's life, who goes on and changes the world because of the reach that you and I had into their lives at that particular moment of time. Because we serve an eternal God, our reach can extend beyond our time and beyond our world. Do we get that? Again, this idea, I just want you to dream a little. I want you to understand that you can have a reach that is far beyond anything that you can imagine. And that impacts far more people and in ways that you may never, ever understand or never even know on this side of eternity. Now, your personal discipleship plan is very important to your reach. This little document that I thought I brought up here was in everybody's mailbox. There's other copies out there on the main entry thing along next to the refrigerator magnets. If you want to magnetize your refrigerator at home, go ahead. But this thing asks you 5 questions. Take it. Fill it out. Think about it. Make a plan. Because the viability, okay, of your reach is connected to the viability of your roots. It really is. So think, do it. No, most of the time, honestly, listen, I read the Bible every day. And there's rare times when I get up from reading it or whatever, and I'm just like, wow, that was the exact thing I needed for the day. It doesn't happen to me that often. It happens sometimes, not that often. But it's driving down the roots. It's putting in the roots. Prayer, service, all of these things. So this question has all these questions for you to think about. Just go ahead and think about them. Make a plan for 2014. Or at least tell God, you know what, I could care less. But if you say that, really know what you said, and then call me, because I want to help you with that. Last slide. You fill in the blank. Now, what goes in the blank, I'm not saying it's bad. This is not everybody needs to quit their job and go be a missionary to Somalia. There might be somebody in this room who needs to quit their job and go be a missionary in Somalia. That could definitely be the case. But what do we put in that yellow line? The change the world part is an essential part that goes along with what we put in the yellow line. It goes along with our job. It goes along with our family. It goes along with our relationships. We can't just settle for what goes in the yellow line. Our reach extends far beyond that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for I thank you for the fact that you want to use people like me. You want to use people like us for your reach. You want to use us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You want to use us to be your witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and Mifflinburg and Union County and Central Pennsylvania and the 1040 window. You want us to do those things. You desire for us to reach. So Lord, let's do it. Maybe there is somebody here that you've been working at and tugging on, saying, hey, I need you to go to fill in the blank, some country. I want you to pray for those people. I want you to give your money so that those people can hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. May we never think that, well, we really can't make that much of a difference, because we can. And as you work in one heart, you're working in 10 hearts. And as you work in 10 hearts, you're working in 1,000 hearts. And tens of thousands of people banded together in prayer or banded together in sacrifice around this, even just this country, can make a difference. Father, expand our reach. Help us to dream for this day. Help us to take some time today and dream. Fill out our plan. Thank you for using us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.